I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Welcome to I'm Listening. This is a Frasier fan podcast hosted by number one Frasier fan, me, Anita Flores. Each new episode, we have a special guest, and, well, this episode is going to be a little different. This is actually the end of season three. It has been an incredible season with incredible guests, and I actually thought pretty early on into beginning season three that I knew I wanted to do a special episode for the fans. And when I say that, I mean that, you know, one of the best things about doing this podcast is all the people that it has connected me to. People in different countries, in different cities, with a shared love of Frasier. It's been really cool. And so I decided I wanted to do a whole episode about Frasier fans around the world. And that is what I am bringing you today. I put out a call on social media and got some incredible responses. So many, in fact, that this is actually part one. There will be more. But in part one, in this particular episode of I'm Listening, I am interviewing my very first fellow Peruvian. This is very exciting. If you don't know this about me, I think you probably do by now. I am half Peruvian. My dad is from Lima. I'm Jewish and Russian on my mom's side. That is why my Twitter and Instagram handle is Anita Jutina, because I'm a Jewish Latina. I felt like a bit of an oddity as a Peruvian and also a Frasier fan. And then I got connected to our next guest. She is a casting director and fellow Peruvian. Please welcome Roxana Altamirano to the podcast. Roxana, how are you today?
I'm fantastic today. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I am so happy that you're here. I feel like I must mention how it is that you are here today, and that is because I was on Judge John Hodgman a while back, and it came up. I think I did mention that I'm a Jutina. I'm a Peruvian or Jeruvian, and Jesse Thorne, who's part of the podcast, mentioned that he had a friend, you, and mentioned that you were Peruvian and that you were a Frasier fan, and then I immediately reached out, and so that is how you and I are talking today. So it's very exciting. I didn't even know how to look for another Peruvian who also likes Frasier. So, I'd love to hear. Tell me about yourself. You had told me what I consider to be fun facts when we were emailing back and forth, including that you were born in Peru and came to the States in 1985. So, yes, please, yes. I'd love to hear about your journey here and what led you into Frasier.
You know, it's kind of the classic, you know, immigrant story. My parents fled from a potential danger in Peru and decided to try United States, of course, the American dream. And so we moved here in 85, and I was 8 years old with my brother and my sister and my parents. And we didn't know anything. We didn't know English or anyone that lived here. And we, you know, how we actually put in Peru, we put the names of all 50 states in a hat, and we were just going to go to whichever one we picked.
Wow.
And it's kind of funny because my brother actually, he got to pick because he's the oldest, and he picked Kentucky. And then we saw where it was in the map, and we like put it back and drew another name. And wow. So then we picked Virginia. And which is convenient because we landed in Florida and then we took a Greyhound up to Virginia and then just tried to make a life in Virginia. It didn't last long in Virginia because it is freezing in the winter. So we eventually moved to California and then Oregon, you know, kind of trying to find a base.
Sure. Oh, can I ask, where in Peru are you from?
I'm from Lima.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
I was born in Lima. All my family is in Lima.
My dad is from Lima. Can I ask what area of Lima?
Miraflores.
Of course, I know Miraflores. Yeah. I it's very exciting to talk to you, especially because I have now been to Lima twice. I went 12 years ago with my father, and he hadn't been back since he left in the 80s. And but at the time, I was very nervous because I was extremely—
How old were you?
So I was 19 at the time. And I was very self-conscious because for whatever reasons, I am not a fluent Spanish speaker. And and so I basically just hid behind him for this trip. And I really— It was just, it was weird for me because I am, if you can't tell this about me, I love the sound of my own voice and talking to people. And I was so shy around my cousins and my aunts and my uncles. So then last January, I decided to go back to Peru. But it is a different situation now in that I became a lot more motivated to practice my Spanish and realizing I'm not as terrible as I thought, despite the fact that I'm not fluent, but I'm okay. So I went back first just by myself, and then my boyfriend met me there. And I had one of the greatest trips of my life.
Met
my whole family, like stayed with my cousin. Like now we're all friends on WhatsApp and on Facebook and like trying to plan the next trip and trying to go back with my dad. And not that I'm an expert on Lima, but my dad's from Barranco. And it's funny because Miraflores, I know it as the kind of the area in Lima in which a lot of tourists like to go.
Right.
So you're the first person I've met people from Barranco, like my dad, and also Salamanca and Chorrillos, but not Miraflores. So you're the first person.
Yeah.
But I felt that I was just so excited that I interrupted what you were saying, which is, so Virginia was too cold. And then you went to California, and then, what came next?
And I mean, we just kind of tried to settle in one place and just kind of made a little life for ourselves here. But what's related is that I did learn English through television. So when we first got to the state, we stayed in a hotel. And the cool thing about staying in a hotel is that there's free HBO and Ooh. All the channels you can ask for. And so we learned English by watching Fraggle Rock, because at that time Fraggle Rock was on HBO, and Sesame Street, of course, and just like TV in general. So my love for TV comes from just, you know, learning, trying to learn the language at a very early age. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what's important. It's learning how to love television.
Of course. Television raised me, but go on.
So, and then we settled in Oregon, and we're in Oregon when Frasier kind of debuted, I guess, made its debut. And then I came down to Southern California for college and stayed here mm-hmm. ever since. So I'm in LA now.
Ah, you're in LA. So yeah. I'm curious, because I was just – I was home for Thanksgiving, and my dad really wanted to see the new Mr. Rogers movie with Tom Hanks. And he said he really Mr. Rogers has a special place in his heart, because he said it was one of the first shows that he started watching that helped him learn English when he came here. That and Sesame Street. So I'm curious, in terms of – you had mentioned when we were emailing that you really liked Sesame Street and The Muppet Show.
Right.
And
yeah.
And then what was the
– Sesame Street and anything related just has such a special – it just feels like family to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's because that's how I learned English, and that was like my family when we first moved here, when we really didn't have any extended family or friends. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know if it's like that with every kid. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like mm-hmm. I have no idea if it's unique to me or an immigrant, or if it's like that with American kids as well. But yeah, Sesame Street and anything Sesame related, like the Jim Henson stuff, has right. just such a, it still kind of tugs at my heartstrings a little bit every time I watch something like that, or I watch old YouTube clips of like old Sesame Street sketches, you know?
Yeah. I would love to take a survey now of how many people from different countries, not just Latin American. I'd be curious to see if there's, you know, lots of people that started with Sesame Street, because I loved it, you know, for my own reasons. But so you said that the first sitcom you got into was Cheers.
Yeah. So Cheers was the first sitcom that didn't have any kids that I really liked. Do you remember being a child and just only watching sitcoms with kids, you know, like Full House or Growing Pains for Us?
That was for
like,
you.
That was okay. Like, you know, like for some reason, any sitcom with like all adults was like, no, I don't want to watch that. Was it just for me, or was that every
Well,
kid?
I would say that it, depending on who you talk to, I'm sure that that is the case. For me, I know that it all started for me with just sitcoms, because I didn't have cable. Apparently, I did not stay in enough hotels.
After the hotel, we were on our own, and then the cable went bye-bye. So
right.
It was the same for us. Yeah,
so for me, it was all about network sitcoms. I fully missed the boat on like anything on Nickelodeon or Disney. I would catch some like, you know, Fox cartoons and their ripoff of Pokemon, which was Digimon. I watched Saved by the Bell, the new class, which was on NBC in the morning. I was too late for regular early Saved by the Bell. Yeah. So that was my experience. So for me, there is a deep nostalgia that comes from watching adults. So hearing your experience is very interesting to me. So why do you think it is that Cheers, of all the ones with all adults, is what kind of piqued your interest?
I think it's just the goofiness of it. Mm-hmm. And looking back now, because Frasier, it's one of the, now I watch, like a lot of people, I watch sitcoms over and over and over again, you know, at night, because that's what gets me to sleep.
Yep, same.
And a lot of kids now kids. A lot of people now watch Friends and The Office over and over again, but I'm a little too old for those two things, mm-hmm. or my sensibilities are just not there. Sure. And so I'll watch Cheers and Frasier over and over and over again. I mean, and Seinfeld. I should add Seinfeld on there. So, but I watched Cheers, and I think, like, just looking back, and I think I really related and took to it because of the goofiness of it. And that's one of the things very early on that Cheers, why I love Cheers is, I mean, it just has a lot of heart, and it's just really goofy in a way that it's not commercial goofy, you know, kind of a forced goofy that, like, Friends is. And I don't want to put The Office in the same category as Friends, because I think The Office is pretty special, but that's what made me love it. It's just the goofiness of it. And you know, I was thinking, because I just saw that Ted Danson got arrested, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Did you read about that with Jane Fonda?
I did, yeah.
In her, you know, her posse, arrested posse. And he was sticking his tongue out. And I think maybe, I don't know if this is a correct theory or not, but I think he, because he's a goofy person in real life, I think he, it all kind of stemmed from him, maybe. Like, do you think that maybe he's the one that kind of brought in the sense of goofiness that kind of, I don't know. Maybe that's just a weird theory, but I think it all kind of stemmed from being Ted Danson being a goofy person in real life. And that's what made Cheers so great.
There's a, I don't think it can be disproved. Well, what's interesting is in my case, Frasier and Seinfeld are all the way up there in terms of sort of the TV, the sitcoms that raised me. Cheers was definitely before me, and I didn't have access to it because I assume it was like probably on Nick at Night, maybe, or just...
It was on Nick at Night, yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't have Nick at Night. So the first actual access to Cheers I had, well, was and still is Netflix. And truth be told, I have yet to really hop in there. I mean, I have seen probably all of the, like, Frasier relevant episodes, and I've watched the pilot. But I have not, I have yet to really watch it all the way through. But you're the first person to talk about goofiness. And you know what? That piques my interest, because generally, when I start talking about the fact that I haven't seen Cheers, to not all, but many people, a lot of them coming from a writer's perspective tell me, oh, it's such a well-written show. And like, for me, that's not really what makes me want to watch a show. I don't know. For me, I like the first, and obviously, you know, you need good writing, but it's definitely acting, and like, I get really, really sucked in by the acting and who are my favorite actors. And like, David Hyde Pierce is probably my favorite. I mean, everyone's amazing on Frasier, but he's such a fantastic actor and so great at physical acting.
Right. He's my favorite as well. I mean, I'm sure he's every Frasier lover's favorite, right?
I'd say he's the answer I get the most in terms of favorite character / like actor when I've asked who's your favorite character / actor on Frasier. But I want to ask, so you started with Cheers. So where, like, what channel or like what device did you start watching Frasier on, and did it start?
So when I was in high school, we did have cable, and and it was on Nick at Night, and Cheers was on Nick at Night. So that's when I watched like all of them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I think maybe you just missed that Nick at Night, because it was on Nick at Night like a lot.
I definitely miss Nick at Night. I wish I had Nick at Night. I watched Gilligan's Island on – see, the most access I had as a child to cable was going to my grandparents' house. So I would check out Nick at Night. I would – I think I would watch Bewitched sometimes. Seemingly missed all of the Cheers blocks. Yeah. And then I would check out horror movies if I could on AMC. That's where I had my introduction to horror movies. I'm a huge horror fan. And the first horror movie I can remember is at my grandparents, way too young, watching Hellraiser. So I definitely think Nick at Night would have been part of my viewing situation had I had had more access to it.
It's almost Valentine's Day, and that means it's time to stop giving lame gifts. Ballsy has some great gifts, including the I'm Nuts About You gift set, which includes ball wash, activated charcoal wash packed with essential oils and plant extracts, nut rub, solid cologne for keeping your boys below and full body smelling fresh, comes in 6 fragrances, sack spray, portable deodorizing spray, great for freshening up on the go, perfect for a gym bag for after workouts when there's no time to shower. There's also a secondary gift set, the Your Incredibles Heart Box, which includes 3 nut rubs solid colognes, including a limited edition Valentine's Day only scent, Driftin' Dunes, and more. It retails for $45, but guess what? I'm Listening is sponsored by Ballsy today, and that means you can get 20% off with the promo code LISTENING20. There's over 200,000 satisfied customers and counting. Get the I'm Nuts About You gift for the special person in your life.
So that's where you started with Frasier. So what do you think is what drew you in to Frasier? Why do you continue to watch it?
So I have, well, I started watching Frasier when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. And I was, and it was kind of like when I was in high school, I kind of went through a phase where I would like, my favorite place was Barnes and Nobles. And I thought of myself as an intellectual, like, and you know, and I wasn't really like, I mean, I was in AP classes, I guess, but I wasn't really smart, you know?
Hey, AP classes, that counts. I think.
And I'm like, you know, I just, like, I spent all my free time at Barnes & Noble's, and I just, like, love the feel of Frasier, you know, of the, like, kind of Pacific Northwest, you know, pseudo-intellectual, like kind of rainy. I don't know if this all makes sense, but
it all makes sense.
It was like the Persian Gulf War. And so like I would watch CNN a lot also. And so I don't know. It was just, it all kind of relates to that kind of image in my head of like me, like growing up as an adult. You know?
So it made you feel kind of like, did it make you feel kind of smart and intellectual to watch Frasier?
Yes, or at least it didn't make me feel that way. It just, I liked the setting. It's almost like I was part of that world.
Yes,
you know, worked in an office and would go into Cafe Nervosa, is it?
Yes,
and,
that is it. Cafe
and,
Nervosa.
You know, order a cappuccino. Ooh. Or, you know, and just I'm in that world. I was in Eugene, Oregon at that time, so I wanted to move into a bigger city like Seattle or Portland, you know, or New York. Mm-hmm. and like work, you know.
Yeah.
That's your vision of getting a job when you're in high school, is that setting. So I just like that world. And I love Frasier, the character. He was one of my favorites on Cheers. I mean, mm-hmm. I just love Frasier the character, so I was happy to kind of go along on too.
For a show like Frasier, do you like, and I can tell you part of mm-hmm. Another thing that I love about the show is there are, believe it or not, some parallels that I draw between the show and myself, specifically sort of like having a special and or close relationship with a family member. Like, I'm very close with my dad. Yeah. So that was like, that's like a nice part of the show to me, is watching their relationship. So I'm curious, is there anything about the show that you find at all relatable to your own life, your own, you know?
Well, there is
up?
Now, mm-hmm. because like as like a Peru, I don't know if you know this, but like Peruvians are very scrappy. Do you
know? I'm scrappy, so go on. Okay. This is relevant okay. to my interests.
Like, maybe it's just me, and I hope that I'm not like stereotyping. Like, but
well, you're Peruvian, really scrappy, so I feel like if anyone's allowed to have opinions on Peruvians, it's a okay. Peruvian. So
okay, and not all of us are like this, but sometimes we don't do things the right way.
Okay, yes. Elaborate.
So it relates to me now, not so much then, even though I am close with my parents. And but it relates to me now because my partner, husband type person, we have kids, so we're not married type of thing. Mm-hmm. Adam, he is Jewish and mm-hmm. grew up here in Southern California, and they're like, you know, they do things the right way, and they like, I don't know, like it's just very different from me, who kind of does the guerrilla style everything.
Okay. Yeah.
And so now the contrast is very much like I find myself being the father role and my partner is Frasier. Or
so you feel like you're more of a Martin, right? Like yes. Now in your life. Okay.
Yes. Yes. Where I just want to chill and have a beer and I don't need everything to match. And
interesting. Okay. Well, hey, I didn't expect that. Most of the time, whenever I ask anyone, like even specifically to a character who they can relate to, a lot of people, including myself, go with a Niles, just because like I personally relate to anxiety and at some point in my life, once or twice, you know, yearning for somebody from afar. And I feel like I've heard Roz a bunch of times as well. But Martin, I haven't heard as much. So
Interesting. Yeah, I find that to be now. Of course, I mean, I am filled with anxiety as well. so that doesn't really go with Martin. But I am kind of in a, you know, the phase of my life where I just like sometimes I don't want to deal with like the OCD of life these days, but I'm definitely filled with anxiety. So I definitely relate to Niles in that way too.
Well, you know, also I should be more open with this question, because who really is just one TV character? You know, right. Like I like to think we're all complex creatures and we've all got, you know, all five repeating characters on Frasier. Yes. We're all some Roz and some Frasier and some Niles and some Martin. Am I missing anyone? Oh, Daphne. Yes.
Daphne.
And there's some Daphne. There's
yeah.
some
but Daphne, she's just like, you know, she's like back in Manchester. Like she just like, she's just there, you know.
For me and for, you know, so my mom is a white Jewish woman from Connecticut. My dad is a Catholic man from Peru. And in my case, along with a lot of people that I've spoken to about this, who also happened to have white parents, started watching Frasier with their parents. Because like for me, I definitely watch sitcoms with my mom. That's definitely a big part of our relationship. So I'm curious, did your parents also watch with you? Did they even care about Frasier? What is your family's thoughts on the show?
No. Yeah, my parents, we had the TV on in the background a lot. And so I don't really even think my parents watch TV, but it was always on, to be honest. I don't remember watching, like actually sitting down and watching anything with them. It was just the kids used to watch TV. You know, it's like it's for the kids kind of. My dad used to watch the news with me, but that's pretty much it. So, but no, and I don't really remember them watching Frasier. So it was just me like really taking
it all in.
Paying attention to it, yeah. Actually, I should also mention that when I graduated college, I moved into an apartment and my roommate was always traveling. So I was by myself for the first time ever. And I would turn on the TV and Frasier was on Nick at Night. Mm-hmm. And I would watch it until I fell asleep. And it was like a lot of older people, you know, watching TV for the loneliness of it.
Of course.
So I think that comfort kind of like why I watch it now is just that comfort of just having something on and not having the house be completely silent.
Oh, of course. So, I mean, yeah. I've been freelancing for like a year. And so I do all work at home. And during the day, no one's around. Boyfriend's not around. Friends aren't around because everyone's working, right. as in an office. Not that working not in an office isn't work, but they're around other people. And I have definitely shared that sentiment with other people, just that it's so quiet sometimes and it's so nice to have something familiar in the background, especially a show like Frasier, especially because it's so – I don't want to say low stakes, but like, especially if you've already watched this show at any point in your life and you know what it's about, it really is. I feel like I'm in the world as well, their world.
Yeah.
Which is this other dimension that, you know, as I've grown up, realized like, oh, most of this was shot like on a, you know, in a studio, like in LA. Right. And so that for me somehow makes it even more magical. Cause like, you know, I've probably brought this up before, listeners, I'm sorry, but, you know, I grew up in, like, spent my formative years in West Hartford, Connecticut. And if you've ever seen the show Gilmore Girls, Gilmore Girls takes place in a fictional town next to Hartford in Connecticut. It is not a real place. And though Frasier supposedly exists in Seattle, it's like the places that they don't actually exist. So to me, there's something even more comforting, and probably part of the reason I can continue to watch a show like Frasier as opposed to a show like Friends, where I live in New York and I get angry watching the show and going like, it's not like this. You could never afford to live there. And like, I've also outaged them, which is absolutely frightening. And and so with Frasier, like, I have yet to outage anyone. And it's in this place that like kind of exists, but like it's also their version of Seattle. And there's something very almost magical about it.
What makes that? Is it production design? Like, or is it just the people's like warmth, or like the character's warmth? Or what is it about Frasier's setting and environment that brings you that comfort, as opposed to even, you know, Stars Hollow, or, you know, something that was probably closer to where you grew up in, you know?
I think that it has something to do with the fact, I feel like I've been asked this question, but not exactly this question. So I'm really thinking it over. I think it's comforting because, well, number one, I'm always going to find something that I liked growing up, watching it now as an adult. That's always going to have an edge over anything else that I start watching now. So that's part of it. The second part, you know, now when I watch new shows, there are no more things, at least for me, where you've got 11 seasons of something with 22 to 24 episodes per season, meaning, you know, it's going to last you a while, which is nice, because sometimes I feel like, you know, like I love the show Party Down, a really fun show, but it's like 12 episodes. And so I'm like, I can't binge this. It's going to be done too soon. And I feel like I have to like ration the episodes. But with Frasier, it's just so long that I feel like I have the time. And so that's very nice as well. But I think, I don't necessarily like miss where I grew up. So like for me, I don't necessarily take great comfort in thinking about everything and the way that I grew up. And so that's another part of it. It just feels like an escape from everything.
Yeah. I just thought of a theory. I'm going to throw it at you.
Oh, yes. Go on.
Is it that it was at that time, because you were like, what, a teenager when you first started watching Frasier?
I started watching Frasier in its second season. And so that was what, 93 or 94? And so I was like eight. I was like seven.
Okay. So you were a kid.
I was a kid. Okay. Yeah, for sure.
And I was a teenager, like 14, 15, something like that. And could it be that it was in part just comforting and goofy and has heart, but also aspirational to what we wanted being a grown-up to be, kind of low stakes and safe? That possible?
Yeah.
Also, you know, they're like successful, you know what I mean, in a big city, you know?
I think that there is definitely some truth to that. It's like, I mean, the other part too is that it's very silly, like the characters, specifically Frasier and Niles. It's very like, I like that what they're generally sort of poking fun at is themselves.
Yes, I love,
which I very much enjoy. Like, yeah, it's not necessarily, I mean, and I've talked about this at length too on the show, that, you know, for its time, it was pretty refreshing, you know, sort of their treatment of gay plot lines, and the fact that, like, in that time period, like, you know, Frasier or not Frasier, Friends is, you know, and we're now very openly speaking about the fact that like it was very problematic and homophobic. And
it so doesn't age well.
It doesn't age well. And like Frasier, like obviously the thing that we can't change is like it was a very white show that cannot be changed. But in terms of like the things that they're talking about, like there's just like for me, I don't ever get taken out of it where I'm like, oh, there's that old TV guide. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but I feel like the things that are important to the characters don't really have to do a lot with things that like we don't care about anymore, if that makes sense.
Right.
Like a lot of the show is about relationships and like wanting to belong and like those things are still things that I think about. And so there's
and also I'm a sucker for, and there's actually a lot of physical comedy.
Oh yeah, for
and,
sure.
And I, you know, I'm if we're talking about really old TV shows, I Love Lucy, of course, is like, you know, it still has a special place in my heart. And I, a lot of the same character, like Cheers and Frasier has, even if they're not actually like falling down on a banana peel, like they're subtle. It's subtle physical comedy, but it's still there. And it's still like, you know,
yeah,
so effective.
The physical comedy is great. And, you know, that's definitely one of my favorite acting traits of David Hyde Pierce. And just, yes, you know, the whole show also feels like a play because a lot, you know, like the majority of people on the show, like actors, like, well, okay, John Mahoney, Kelsey Grammer, David Hyde Pierce, B.B. Newworth, Harriet Harris, all, and there's other people I'm forgetting, all have a, like a theater background. And that is another part of it for me. It felt very.
Who's Harriet Lewis? Is she B.B.?
Harriet Harris is, she is B.B., B.B. Glazer. Frasier's agent. She also has done a lot of theater work and I believe still does. And obviously I dream of having her on my podcast. So I think the sort of feeling like I'm always watching a play is another part of the thing that I love about the show. But I must ask you, before I forget, you did mention that you haven't and don't want to watch season 11. So I'm curious. So what,
I don't know why that is. Maybe you can be my therapist.
Yeah.
You can be my Frasier.
Let's unpack this.
And I could be the caller and you can tell me why that is. I do not know.
Okay.
If it's something so obvious, it's like I don't want it to end.
Right. That was my first theory. You don't want it to end.
But I don't think it is, actually, because like the last season of Seinfeld is one of my favorites and I watch it over and over again. And I know that I'm just going to go back to season one after that, you know, like, I don't know why it is. I think maybe, you know, like the season prior to the last season had a lot of emotional episodes.
Well, okay. So controversial. I have seen every season. However, I do tend to drop off after season 8.
So I'm not the only one.
You definitely are not the only one. I mean, yes, I have seen every episode, but I definitely don't go back a lot to rewatch after season 8. You know, a big part of the show for me was definitely the Niles and Daphne relationship and all the comedy that came from the fact that they were not together and he wanted to be with her and all the hijinks that ensued. So for me, I think a part of it is there, a part of the show feels like it did end for me after they get together.
Which was very sweet.
It was. I'm so like, that's like when they get together, like I generally always tear up in the season finale, the two part season finale,
the trailer,
Something Borrowed, which I described in detail to my boyfriend yesterday. And he's like, you seem really proud of yourself. I was like, I am. I know what happens and I can recite some of the lines from that episode. And so them getting together and the way they did it. Oh, I'm a fan. So I'm glad it happened. But it's true. I definitely fall off like mostly after season 8. So for you, I don't know But it's interesting because you do still like watching like 8, 9, and 10, but not 11. So I
– Yes, but yeah. I got to say sometimes I skip some okay. episodes in season 8, in the later seasons. The seasons that I watch every episode are always 4 and 5.
Okay. Oh, great, great options. Yes.
Yeah. 4 and 5 is, you know, when it's probably the height, the peak for me of episodes that I just laugh out loud still.
What I tend to do once I rewatch, because like 4 and 5 are great, and then that inevitably leads me all the way up to 7. And then I end up kind of randomly mixing it up and watching a random episode from season 1 or 2.
So oh, interesting.
I definitely have my patterns because of how many times I've rewatched the show. So you mentioned that your favorite episodes possibly could be Two Mrs. Cranes and To Kill a Mockingbird. Great choices. And no surprise that Two Mrs. Cranes is from season 4. And then To Kill a Mockingbird is also season 4. So
yeah, the writers really have, I mean, I can't, how do they just create such entertaining, you know, episodes that take place in one setting?
That's great writing. You need some good writers for that. Okay, so very important question. Other than me and you, do you know of any other Peruvians, whether they be in Peru, in a different country, such as the United States? Do you know any other Peruvians that also like Frasier?
I do not. Okay. I do not, but I don't know very many Peruvians, to be honest with you.
Me neither.
I don't know if my cousins watch it, but I'm sure there are many because this is kind of I remember reading an article of Michael Cera and a filmmaker friend of his, and this filmmaker friend of his was Chilean, and he went to visit him in Chile for some months, and Michael Cera asked this filmmaker, what do you guys do in Chile when you get sick? And the Chilean filmmaker was like, we take Tylenol and watch Seinfeld, you know.
Interest. Okay.
So we're not so different everywhere in the world. And I'm sure there are millions of Peruvians like us who love Frasier and Seinfeld and not friends so much.
Not friends so much. Well, that gives me hope. It is always very exciting to meet another Peruvian because, yeah, I know, like in New York, I can only speak really for New York and like parts of Connecticut. There's definitely communities. I do know just from Wikipedia that the largest sort of, I think, community of Peruvians is in New Jersey. I can't remember what city, but it is New Jersey, apparently. And so it's always, and it's so interesting because I meet a lot. I know I have a lot of Colombian friends here. Oh, and I'm like, okay, cool. Why don't I don't know if it has to do with population or where people migrate.
Yeah.
It's just very interesting to me. And I don't necessarily know the answer of where are my Peruvian Frasier fans at? So listeners.
You should have a hotline or an email.
I should have a hotline.
So everyone can email all the Peruvian Frasier lovers can just email and.
But I hope that this interview between the two of us will spark some hope and interest from not even just Peruvians, but more Latin Americans, because it's very exciting to talk to fellow Latinx Frasier fans. Yeah. It's very exciting. Oh,
thanks. So, I feel like we should sing the Peruvian national anthem or something.
Well, that's something that I would need to work on because I apparently do not know it by heart, but perhaps I can, and then we will sing it together. Well, thank you so much, Roxana, for joining the podcast today. And until next time, good night, Seattle.
And that was part one. That was one of my favorite conversations that I've had. And if there are any other Peruvian Frasier fans out there, please hit me up. I want to know who you are. You know, hit me up at Anita Jutina on Instagram and Twitter. Stay tuned for part two of Frasier Fans around the world.